Obsessed with true crime cults or conspiracy theories? Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes is a weekly podcast from Crime House and Pave Studios that dives into the darkest corners of human behavior. Every Wednesday, we uncover the true stories behind the world's most shocking crimes, deadly ideologies, and secret plots. Follow and listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pat Narduzzi talking right now, or maybe just finishing right now. Whenever that happens, Jeff Hathorn will join us, our sports director, who's all over the place. What's the term for that, Limits, when you're all over the place?
He's versatile.
No,
he's a Swiss Army knife.
Versatile is good, but that doesn't describe... What's the word when you're ever present everywhere? There's a word for it. You are what? I can't think of the word. And now I'm annoyed about that. You don't know the word either.
No.
I know.
I'm trying to think.
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry I brought the whole thing up, as a matter of fact. But we can ask Jeff about the Steelers' moves, about Pitt opening against the Duquesne Dukes, which should be... Limits, you said that was a 20-point spread, you told us last week. It's 37 and a half.
Yeah, it wasn't 10 anymore.
It was never 10, Mulsey.
Maybe the line just went up significantly.
It must have. It must have suddenly gone up by 17 points. Let's do a little mailbag while Jeff is coming along, shall we? Will you do that with me?
Oh, there's Mulsey.
Hi, Mulsey. The word is omnipresent.
No, that's not the one I was looking for, though.
But that is the word.
That is the word, yeah.
But ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous.
There it is.
Give Mulsey a hand. From the thesaurus. That's the one we needed. Yep. Thank you.
Happy thanks spinning.
And Jeff truly is. We're going to talk about everything and anything with him. You ready for a question, Limits?
Let me hear it.
I don't have one. This was a good one. No, this was a stupid one. The Chicken Boys podcast asks, Dear Joe, this was a good one. With Kenny Super Bowl champion Pickett being shuffled around so much, do you think he ever finds himself back in black and gold? Limits?
No. No, never.
Never in his whole career? We might not see like a reunion in 15 years with a 39-year-old Kenny Pickett, a 40-year-old Pickett. Coming back here to finish out his career as a backup.
Maybe
a lot of people thought Mason
coach,
would never come back.
Maybe if he's a quarterback's coach, I can't see Pickett coming back, no.
Me neither. It'd make for a nice story. I think we should always remember Kenny fondly for his college days, right?
Yeah, I think so. Pitt should be the number one thing that people think of in winning the ACC.
I don't know. I can't tell people how to think, though, Limits. But
no.
But we should remember his college days fondly. But this was just... It was a disaster. That's the only way to look at it, I think.
And it ended just so horrifically.
Yeah, with him basically asking out when the competition stiffened.
Yeah. After he got that surgery so that he could come back for the Seattle game, and they decided, no, we're going to go with Mason. And that started a lot of the bad blood.
Burke O'Toole. If Burrow, Lamar, and Aaron all stay healthy, how do you see the AFC North playing out? Who do you have finishing 1, 2, 3? I said I see the Ravens winning the division and possibly the Super Bowl, Dr. O'Toole. That is a top three roster in the NFL. I see the Steelers finishing second, but only if Rodgers has a really good year. The Bengals defense doesn't look appreciably different than it did last year, and that would frighten me if I'm a Bengals fan. However, if they play even average defense... That offense is dynamic. They could actually win the division. And when you really look at their season last year, as atrocious as they were defensively, they lost an overtime game and I believe a one-point game to the Ravens. A bounce in both those games.
Yeah.
They win the division.
They win the division. That's why I picked Joe Burrow in my fantasy league, because I don't think he's cooling off anytime soon. Burrow is going to heat up, Joe. And I think that ultimately... The Bengals have a real shot to be able to get into the playoffs if their defense can hold, and that's what I don't have any faith in. I have the same order as you.
They just signed. They fortified their offensive line as well. So what they need to do is fortify their defense. All right. Fred Ulmer Your thoughts on the punter decision, Joe? Does it really matter either way? I said I wouldn't have been surprised either way. And I saw where our very own Brian Batko, the Batconian mongoose, put out the numbers that Waitman averaged more than 11 yards per punt more and about 9 net yards more over the preseason. So if that was a competition, he won the competition, plus he's cheaper, plus he was a holder last season, for what it's worth, maybe a lot to Boswell, when Boswell had his first all-pro season. And I couldn't believe that, although Justin Tucker had a lot of those early on. But then I saw, was it New Orleans who was offering a draft pick for Waitman?
Yeah, they did.
I think I might have taken the pick and gone with Johnston in that case. You?
It shows that they really like Corliss Waitman. And he did punt well for them last year, and he was consistent throughout the entire preseason. It depends on what the draft pick was. It's probably just a seventh. At that point in time, what's more important, having a punter that you completely trust or an extra seventh-round draft pick for a guy that might not even make the roster? I'm okay with what they did.
All right. A man named Steve seems like a nice man. Hey, Joe, can you tell me why Heaney, and this was Tuesday or Monday night, can you tell me why Heaney is on this pirate ball club? He really sucks. I'm sure that will be a subject on your show in the AM. I'll be listening. I said, I appreciate that, Steve, and I have no idea what he's doing here. And lo and behold, Limits, he only had one more outing in him, and it wasn't a real good one, but at least he collected 50,000.
Yes, 5 runs later, the 5 in front of that 50,000 is the runs that he allowed that ultimately made him jettisoned out of the town.
Just incredible. The whole thing is just incredible who they kept at the deadline. Meantime, I wanted to read a little bit of this. I got a birthday card the other day by, I think it was a person named Hasty Lefevre. And it really made me feel good, Limits. I opened it up today. Sometimes I get a little worried about what people might be sending me, but this was a nice birthday card. Would you like to hear the beginning of it?
I'd love to.
Thank you. Dear Joe, if you ever feel like what you do isn't that important because it's just, quote, sports talk, remember that to some listeners, what you do is actually an important part of their day. I started listening to The Fan years ago when it first debuted. At the time, I just moved into my tiny one-bedroom apartment as part of my separation and then divorced. And went into a bunch of stuff. I don't want to repeat all this personal stuff. But thank you at the end. Thank you for bringing so much joy to my work week. Wishing you an amazing birthday, and may the years ahead of you be full of love, laughter, silliness, good health, and many rounds of golf. So maybe we do, in our own little way, help people in a way. Right, Limits?
In our own way. Yeah, we do.
Do we?
I think in a way we do, Joe.
When you get a nice note like that, it really changes my perspective.
Yeah, it's clear right there. Like, I love going out and being able to talk to people. Like, if you get recognized or you go to a station event, or when we had the 5-alarm marathon or stuff like that. Just being able to converse with people, because
we add a little enjoyment, I think.
Yeah, we're just regular people that have a really cool job, and we love what we do, and we love the opportunity to be able to talk sports, and people feel a connection with that. So it's really cool being able to, you know, hear other people's stories and the way that they connect with the show, because we do have an impact. Sometimes we just don't understand how big of an impact it is for certain people.
I love getting notes like that. And you're right, the feedback we get when we go out and do shows, and we're going to be doing some remotes coming up here.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
From what I'm hearing, and that'll be fun. And tomorrow, we're doing the first edition this football season of a Donnie Football Friday. And that's going to be great. Meanwhile, speaking of mailbags, the Noah Constrictor got asked about Connor Griffin this week. Somebody named Jonesy writes in, what are the chances we see Connor Griffin make the team out of spring training next year? Zangrilli gives it a shot. Greg Brown was a little less gung-ho about this, but said, hey, if the guy gets AAA at-bats this season, that might make me change my mind. At least I'm paraphrasing what Greg said. I'm still a little taken aback by Greg's reaction to my mere name the other day being brought up on the PM show. Do you have that, Limits?
Yeah, it was kind of fascinating. This one.
What was going on here? I've known Greg for years. I once did a huge takeout on him. That was very complimentary. I think we have a good relationship. I text him from time to time. What was this?
Here it is.
Starkey said that, and you know how negative he can be, and he did turn 60
today. He pounded the table, Brownie, and said they're going to have a good rotation next year and that they already have one right now. And yes, he did turn 60 today.
Well, anyway, I mean, to the point.
He didn't even address it.
What is that?
He just laughed it off.
I don't get it. So we were talking about, Brownie had just brought up that he thinks the Pirates are closer than what others might think, which is exactly what I've been saying.
Right.
And I wrote this yesterday for the Post-Gazette. So they referenced it, and then Pony sometimes poisons the well, of course, right? So
no, the pony over exaggeration.
He threw in a pony poisonous pill there, and he says, Starkey, who can be really negative. So maybe that was it. Maybe that threw Greg off. Do you think if Pony doesn't poison the water there, that Greg at least throws out, tell Joe I said happy birthday? I consider him, a friend. We don't hang out or anything, but I consider Greg a friend. Let's hear that again and analyze it. I mean, I was listening in my car, and I was like, what just happened?
Starkey said that, and you know how negative he can be, and he did turn 60 today.
He pounded the table, Brownie, and said they're going to have a good rotation next year and that they already have one right now. And yes, he did turn 60 today.
Well, anyway, I mean, to the point.
Anyway,
what
to the
hell
point.
Limits? What happened there?
You know what I honestly think probably occurred here? Is that Greg Brown felt uncomfortable with the way that it was phrased and bringing up your birthday.
Pony poisons another well.
Starkey
is what
being negative.
There. Right.
Like Greg Brown's just like, ha, 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 okay, anyway.
Like, what am I supposed to say? Or did he think, here's the other thing. Did he think they were ripping me that I turned, that they were saying I turned 60 when I'm really not 60? Because a lot of people were surprised, including Pony. He's like, I thought you were in your early 50s.
I thought you were 45.
I'm not low-key bragging about anything. I look like hell. But I have to hear that one more time just to hear the little nuances of it. I don't know what Greg was thinking.
Starkey said that, and you know how negative he can be, and he did turn 60 today.
He pounded the table, Brownie, and said they're going to have a good rotation next year and that they already have one right now. And yes, he did turn 60 today.
Well, anyway, I mean, to the point.
Your final interpretation is what?
Is that Greg felt a little bit uncomfortable, tried to just laugh and then answer the question. And he just is not even going to address it at all.
Address what? My alleged
your age, I guess.
Negativity or my age?
All the above, maybe? You know, sometimes if somebody like puts you in a bad position or a corner, you just try to find a way out. So
that's
like,
what I think. Huh. But one person asked me on X, do you and Greg have beef? No.
Ooh.
Not at all. Never. We used to, when I was doing a radio show on a different station in a galaxy far, far away, way back when, in the early 2000s, we would argue on the air about the Pirates and Bob Nutting and all that stuff, much as he does with those guys. But I was taken aback by that. Can you send me a little, that clip?
I can.
In such a form that I may text it to Greg and then say, Greg, how should I interpret this?
Is it as controversial as Pony insulting intern Dom?
And so right now, filling in pinch hitting is the very controversial intern Dom. How controversial is Dom? Well, when he was at Oakmont this weekend, people were coming up to him and saying things like, how dare you attack a legend like Bob Pompiani? How dare you say this was rock bottom for him? And that he said something that was a career low point. Who are you? Since when are you Pittsburgh sports media's Siskel and Ebert, Dom? And so that's how you've made your name. That's how you've made a name for yourself. It's like Skip Bayless making a name for himself by just crapping on LeBron James every day on TV. So,
well, thank you for that introduction.
You're welcome.
It was very nice.
He just keeps going at Bob, though.
For Pomp to say he'd rather have Justin Fields. That's
here we go again. You're going at Pomp.
That's a low point in Pomp's career.
Wow.
I hate to say it.
Wow.
No, you don't.
That is rock bottom for Pomp.
Rock bottom for Pomp.
Well, whoever says that is a moron.
That
I didn't insult Bob. I insult Bob.
He has a certain way about him that is just, I don't know what it is, comical?
I didn't insult Bob.
He's a funny guy, isn't he? Intern Dom, or do you feel more of a rivalry with him?
No, I don't feel a rivalry with Dom at all.
Just the way you said no there makes me think you do.
Oh.
You got very defensive all of a sudden.
How is that being very defensive by just saying no?
You didn't just say no.
I could have went, no, Joe, of course I don't think that.
Yeah, you almost did.
Oh, almost.
Yeah, you can replay it.
Almost in reality.
Let me try that again. Do you have any sort of rivalry with intern Dom?
No.
Okay. All right.
It's become a good friendship.
So can I take that little thing? I want to text Greg before the end of the show, now that we're on the topic, and just say, Greg, how should I interpret this, your reaction to that question? Because here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, Limits. Limits.
I'm calling Jeff.
Well, just call him in a minute. It's
all right.
It's 24 after. Now we can just come on the next segment.
All right.
Sports Talk on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So, regardless of how we interpret that, maybe Pony poisoned the well and made everything weird before Greg could answer. Maybe
made everything weird.
That Greg still became aware through that interaction that it was my birthday and never texted me, right?
That would be correct.
Did he think they were kidding? Like they were busting my chops by saying I was 60 when it was actually true? Could that have happened?
Possibly. I think maybe...
Is Jeff on the line?
No, you told me not to call him.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
All right, take us out with the Greg Brown thing again.
All right.
And maybe we can get texters' reactions. I don't know what to think of it, but I'm going to... if you send me that little clip, I'm going to text him right now, and hopefully we'll get an answer.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Very Rarely Pomp and Always on Vacation, Joe. Austin Limits to my left. We're having a fine time today, are we not, Limits?
Yeah, this has been one of the funner. I love using the word funner, even though it's not an actual word.
Yeah, it fits.
Shows in a while, yeah. It's been good.
I've enjoyed it. And the fun continues with Mr. Jeff Hathorn. How fun was the Narduzzi news conference today, Jeff?
Oh, barrel of laughs. He did ask for something, though.
What?
He needs somebody to buy him some ribs, so after the game he has ribs. He says they do the Panther walk right by all the ribs. He smells them pregame, but no one's ever brought some for him. So he's looking for someone to bring ribs to him after the game. Hopefully, for Pitt's sake, it's not Duquesne.
Well, I figured he might be sad today because it's his first season in years without Jerry DePaula, right? Jerry retiring off that beat.
He and EJ. Like
and
two of the
EJ,
most shouted
right.
out two of the most shouted out people in those news conferences, and he's not there. By the way, Joe, is it true that Greg Brown shot a cannonball at you?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Were you listening to that?
I just heard about it, and I heard the end of the last segment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened there. I think it was actually Pony poisoning the waters and throwing Greg off. He didn't know where to go. Big surprise there, right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to ask Greg about that. I was taken aback. I don't know. I didn't know what to make of it.
I think he just wanted to move on.
I think he did. He didn't know. That's the moral of the story. He didn't know what Pony was up to and Malzi and just wanted to move on. So he gave sort of a nervous laugh and moved on. Limits, is that your ultimate conclusion there?
Yeah, it is. He just didn't want to talk about that at all and thought probably best if I just avoid this topic.
Yeah, maybe. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. What do we have here, Jeff, with the Pitt football team? I was golfing this morning at Moon and ran into a booster who said 10-2. They're going to be way better than people think. Eli Holstein's
wow.
really good. I think 7-5, but there's a lot of guys on that team I have no idea about. I have to see a couple of games before I make any conclusion. What do you think? What do you think of this team?
Well, Joe, if you look at the schedule, there's probably two games you're really skeptical of them winning. Notre Dame at home and at Miami. beyond that, you like their defense. You know their linebackers are playmakers. You think their defensive line is going to be better. So it just let's just say defense is going to be good. It's the second year with the offense. They now understand the tempo. They've kind of conditioned for it now. They've got a returning quarterback back. They've got an All-American in Dez Reed. To me, it's two things. Can they run the ball when they need to? Beyond Desmond Reed, will somebody else step up as a running back? And then secondly, can they get some big plays out of some receivers? They hardly had any big plays from receivers last year. All the big plays were Dez Reed.
Yeah.
So can one of those receivers step up and be a threat? If that's the case, I think their offense will be better, even though they scored a lot of points last year. I think they'll be better against good teams, and I think they've got a chance to win 9 games.
Who's a newcomer that we don't know about? We already know they have 2, 3, 4 pretty good players, including one really good one. But who don't we know about, Jeff, who could be sort of a newcomer to watch?
How about Blue Hicks?
I like the name.
That name, yeah. Right? And he said he came to Pitt because their colors had blue in it.
I'm starting to like him more.
Right? And the guy's he's a speed burner. So you get him out in open space. He can get vertical really quick. So that could be that guy that could provide some of those big plays on the outside. Another one, a more quiet one to watch out, is a guy named Jeff Percy. He's going to be the left tackle. He came from Michigan. He won a national title at Michigan, and now he's playing his last year here at Pitt. And they had some issues at left tackle. Ryan Bear is going to move back over to the right. You provide that type of protection that you expect from him, and you feel better about that offensive line, too.
Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Jeff Hathorn, we're talking to right now. All right, Jeff, moving on to Penn State. Because I was tasked by the Post-Gazette for their college football preview, they said write a Penn State column. So I was thinking and talking to people and finally came up with this. They still have an Ohio State problem here. Your Buckeyes, and Jeff is an Ohio State grad and a Buckeye fan. Am I safe to say that, Jeff?
That's safe, yes.
Your Buckeyes are still pretty good. I realize they have a question mark at quarterback. They also have a 5-star recruit named Julian Sain at quarterback. They may have the best offensive player and defensive player in the whole country. They're going to have a really good defense. All they do is reload on defense. They didn't bring in just nobody to replace Jim Knowles, who James Franklin stole from Ohio State, which was awesome, I thought. Adds drama to this. Really, Knowles called Franklin and said, you know, do you have a job opening here? Because he felt disrespected in Columbus. They bring in Matt Patricia, who, as long as he's not your head coach, is a pretty good football coach. 2 Super Bowls for old Pencilier as the defensive coordinator there. They're going to have the best wide receiver room in the country at Ohio State. James Franklin's 1-10. Now, they could win the national championship and still lose to Ohio State twice, believe it or not, Jeff. Once in the regular season and once in the Big Ten championship. But I wouldn't recommend that route. I still think Ohio State is better than Penn State. What do you think of that?
I think Ohio State's talent may be slightly better. They have a star receiver, a guy who's probably going to make an impact at the next level at Ohio State. But, man, when you're a team and you could start with a quarterback that's been in your system for years, what an advantage you have, especially early in the season, than most every other team, to have a guy with that many starts at your program. That's where I really like Penn State this year. And I know that game is going to be in Columbus, and that is that game. I mean, when John Cooper was at Ohio State, he couldn't beat Michigan, and that game would consume him. I don't know if it's that way, especially for Franklin. All those games have been tight. It's just that made a play when they've needed to, or Ohio State has made a play when they've needed to. I really like Penn State. I'm bullish on them being in the national title game. I think they're talented. They've got playmakers. They've got depth in the backfield. And like I said, when you've got a quarterback that's been there for a while, like Drew, a guy who, I mean, maybe this is passe now because of the way he acted about Shador, but I know Mel Kiper thinks he's potentially the best quarterback in the draft coming up.
Well, don't get me wrong here. You have to like Penn State's talent, and I do too, but they have an Ohio State problem. And I think it boils down to the coach, honestly. Ryan Day tends to beat good teams. Franklin doesn't. Here's some of the numbers. Day is 7-6 against top five teams. Franklin is 1-15. Day is 15-8 against top 10 teams. Franklin's 4-20. Day is 24-9 against top 25 teams. Franklin is 16-28, and they have absolutely, and this was with Jim Knowles as the Ohio State defensive coordinator, they have absolutely just throttled Drew Aller in two games. I think Penn State is 4-27 on third downs. Limits is chomping or maybe champing at the bit here. He wants to say something. He's raising his hands, or at least one of his hands, like Horshack in the old show Welcome Back, Cotter. You remember that, Jeff?
His white-out hands, yes.
Yeah.
I would like to thank the teacher for calling on me. Jeff, I believe that this is national championship or bust for Penn State, and if they don't win it all, it's a failed season regardless of how it's done. Do you agree with that?
I think it's national championship game or bust. Obviously, injuries, you know, if there's a rash of injuries or things like that can, you know, it's hard to give an absolute. But, yes, I would think for Franklin, if they don't reach the national championship game, the questions are going to grow deep. I'm not saying he's going to be fired. I don't know that base well enough. But the frustration will be so high that maybe someone will say, here's some money. Let's go in a different direction. Because they've been there. It's not the recruiting that's been the issue. Joe, as you mentioned, they just haven't won those games against those teams.
Yeah.
And if they don't do it this year with the advantage it seems like they have, then it may be time to look in a different direction.
I agree with you that if Penn State, I think it's reach the national title game. Because as we were saying, if they get there and they play a great game against Clemson or something and they lose, okay. I even think if they get back to the semis and play another great game, I don't think he will or necessarily should be in any danger. But I mentioned to Limits the other day, if Penn State loses in the first round or loses their first game, I think he will get fired. Limits disagrees. Do you think he would if they lost in the first round as a favorite?
If they're at home and they were to lose to SMU, which obviously didn't happen, but if that would have gone the other way or would go the other way this year, with all the expectations, I think that's on the table, yes. I mean, I don't know what the buyout is. I don't know. You can get so far and you just have enough. We see it in all kinds of sports where teams get to the edge and they never get over the top. And if Penn State can't get over the top or at least reach the mountain again this year, I would think a lot of those fans are going to want change.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Sunny today and a high of Joe Green, 75. Great weather for me to golf. Maybe I'll do it again. Have a doubleheader. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. All right, Jeff, in about a minute and a half here, Will Howard, Cabali thinks he could be headed toward a lost season. What say you? What's happening here? Are the Steelers doing the right thing by putting him on IR and keeping Skylar Thompson for the time being? What's your opinion?
I think they are, because they don't know necessarily how bad or how long it's going to take to rehab, and this team has lofty goals, and Skyler provides you with a third stringer that started a playoff game before. What a rarity it is in the NFL to have that. Remember this with IR. They don't have to say right now what the deal is with him. So if they don't have a lot of injuries early, then maybe they roll that dice with him coming back. Where I have a problem with him coming back early is that, don't you want to save some of that in case TJ's going to miss 2 weeks so you can have a short-term IR or Cam or whomever? I don't want to burn a short one of your eight short-term, now seven because Trice is taking one, short-term IRs on a guy that you hope doesn't play for you this year. As much as the practice would be valuable for him, I think it's going to be what other kind of injuries are they dealing with over the course of the year. Like, I don't think Holcomb last year would have gotten the opportunity to try to come back at the end of the year if they had used up, you know what I mean? They wouldn't have done that earlier to try to do that. It's just they had him available. They were going to give him some practice reps. I think that's the same thing with Howard, that they'll wait and see how other injuries go before they make that decision.
Limits, I got an email from somebody. I want to know where Jeff stands here. The little miniature corns, Jeff, the little corn cobs that you get on plates sometimes with Chinese food, for example. I got it last night, but it's in other things. Other people have taken to this. It's like a tiny little minuscule corn cob, the size of a toothpick. Why do they exist, and how did this come to be? This came to be a conversation earlier, and somebody pictured Kenny Pickett with his tiny hands eating one of those like a regular piece of corn. So we started calling it Kenny Corn. Jeff, have you ever in your life thought, man, I can't wait to order that thing because it's going to come with some Kenny Corn? Well, does anybody like these things?
It intrigues me when it comes, because you got that whole mixture of different things that come in some of these stir fries.
Right.
So I'm always kind of excited when I see the mini corn because I don't know what it is. I just dip it in some soy sauce and I think, what the hell?
Do you like it? It doesn't have any taste. It's unmatured corn. It's an unmatured corn cob that just got thrown in there. It feels like originally because it was extra and wasn't needed or wanted. And somebody said, what are we going to do with these immature corn cobs? And they don't taste like anything.
It's a nice surprise in there. I mean, you're looking over the other vegetables and it's like, okay, there's broccoli. I've had that. There's whatever. And oh, look, it's a little corn on the cob.
It's Kenny Corn.
It makes me happy.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Joe.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.